Do you spend a lot of time in planes, trains, and automobiles? Then you should try an audiobook. Audiobooks can help you read on the go. And Penguin Random House Audio offers innovative professional tips from successful business influencers such as Charles Duhigg and Sheryl Sandberg, or turn off your work mode and relax with a novel by Jonathan Kellerman or Steve Barry. Visit tryaudiobooks.com for more listening suggestions.
It's an unlucky quarter for Apple. 13 is the number. It sees its first quarterly sales drop in 13 years and revenue down 13%. Did it get lucky anywhere? A full breakdown of Apple earnings coming up.
Stay plugged in and cut through the static. This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. The buzzword continues to be Apple as the company releases its latest earnings report. Apple's most significant products, the big three, the iPhone, the iPad, and the iMac, are all essentially down by double digits. What are we to make of the current state of one of the biggest tech giants in the world? Joining us on the line is Rob Enderle, analyst at the Enderle Group. Hi, Rob. Welcome.
Welcome.
So, Rob, not a great report from Apple. Numbers are down, down, down. But how bad is it really, though? What's the damage here?
Well, the damage is Apple's valuation. Apple's valuation is based on the idea that not only does Apple outperform expectations, they outperform expectations by a significant amount and pretty much every time. Flipping to a downturn where they underperformed already reduced expectations, that's a bigger problem. And particularly when we're talking about a decline in the revenue year over year. So we haven't seen that in a long time. And I think that points to an endemic issue with not only the company, but the smartphone, but the markets that Apple's in as well.
Right. And as I stated at the beginning of this podcast, you know, the big three, the iPhone, iPad, and iMac, all underperformed. But it seems to really, I mean, it's the iPhone that really matters, right? What does that
speak
to?
They all underperformed. The big problem is the iPhone. The iPhone represents the vast majority of their revenue and profit. The others can underperform as long as the iPhone does its job. In this particular case, nothing kicked in. Apple has existed on this idea that as a product falls off, like when the iPod fell off, they've got a replacement product in place that can more than make up for the downturn. They'd had that with the iPhone, and then the iPad was supposed to take up the slack when the iPhone market started to saturate and they had issues, but the iPad actually fell off faster than the phones did. In fact, it's currently falling off faster than the PCs did, which were kind of in the dust in this last decade. So the end result is there was nothing to pick up the slack. The saturation of the market was always known to happen. And with the elimination of subsidies by the carriers, the ability to maintain the kind of market share that Apple had with what is a very premium-priced product seemed doubtful, because typically premium-priced products are only 10% of the market, and Apple's often hovered towards 50%. So the market was due for a correction. And so then they tried the Apple Watch, but the Apple Watch broke all conventions, and as a result, it is massively underperformed where it had to be, and here we are.
Right. I want to move over to China for just a moment. Apple sales to Greater China fell 26% during the quarter. How big of a concern should this be for Apple?
Well, it's pretty big. Now, recognize that in China right now, U.S. products are having a problem moving because the Chinese government thinks the U.S. government's using the products to spy on their people, and that means the most influential people are probably not using any U.S. products at the moment, and this conflict between the U.S. and China over privacy and discussions about breaking encryption and all the rest of that stuff is just doing horrible things to pretty much everybody's sales in China. So Apple's just one of the bellwethers that are being adversely impacted. The market loves premium products. They chase premium products. Apple is a premium product, but this downturn would indicate that they're starting to run from Apple. And I think it's primarily because it's a U.S. brand, not because of anything Apple itself did.
Right. How about a positive note? Apple did set a record this quarter for App Store revenues. How important should that factor in?
Well, the thing is Apple's a hardware vendor. So it's an offsetting metric, but it isn't Apple's core business. Apple is still perceived largely as a hardware vendor. Any uptick in App Store revenues, which means basically subsidies, it's nice, but Apple can't live on, at least not at the current valuation. They need the rest of the stuff to come through. So it's offsetting. It shows that what we've always known, that Apple buyers buy stuff. It's a much more lucrative app market than, say, the Android market is. And it showcases it continues to be. But that doesn't really fix anything. It just addresses the fact that there are continually more phones out there that are iPhones that are coming into service, and the end result is those people are buying more and more apps, and that's great.
Right.
But Apple needs the other products to come up because they're what carry the company.
And in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Apple CEO Tim Cook said that, you know, it was a challenging quarter, but that their future was bright. In your estimation, is it?
Well, it's they're not going out of business, I guess, is the part of that to really address.
Yeah.
When you say the future's bright, the lights are staying on, but they're dimmer than they were last year, which is the problem. At the end of the day, Apple was built around this idea of having the CEO, the lead product pitchman, the customer advocate all be one person. That isn't the way it is now. Tim Cook isn't that guy. And as a result, they really can't execute the same kind of strategies Steve Jobs did. They have to come up with strategies that kind of develop the same kind of margins and revenues that Steve Jobs had, but not using Steve Jobs' skill set because they don't have that anymore. So either they've got to find a way to backfill the skill set, and do realize that Steve Jobs originally wasn't CEO. He used his skills as a VP way back when he was still the founder and before he'd been fired the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it does suggest that they could actually hire somebody to do much of the job Steve Jobs did, but they currently don't have that job filled. And I think they're going to have to fix that because at the end of the day, another Hewlett-Packard, another Compaq, is not going to be valued as highly as Apple is. And the company is trending into a firm that has far more products that are far less profitable, and a company that would be far less valued than the one we have today.
That's a good place to end it. Rob Enderle, thank you very much for the time today.
My pleasure.
This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. For more, check out wsj.com/podcasts and become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.